our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? We can't depend on them for 5 minutes at a time. But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again about chastity. Somebody said to me, "I don't think I can hold out till I'm 20. Somebody else said, "I don't think I can hold out till I'm 30. Somebody else says, "I don't think I can hold out till I'm 40. Somebody's a widow and says, "Oh, I don't think I can hold out for the rest of my life." What am I to say to someone who says that to me? I was single for 26 years before I married the first time. I kept the gift in order to give it just to that first man that I thought would be the only man that I would ever love. But our marriage lasted 27 months, and then I was a widow for 13 years. I read somewhere rather recently that a woman reaches her sexual peak somewhere between the ages of 30 and 40. Well, I was a widow from 29 to 42. And I know exactly how it feels to say, "Well, I don't really think I can hold out that long." And yet, in my set of categories, promiscuity or extramarital sexual activity was simply not there. It was forbidden by the scriptures. It was something that I knew I, as a Christian, could not possibly do. But I would say to those of you who perhaps have not had the same kind of background that I had, maybe you've only become a Christian recently, you've only become aware of the fact that chastity is a command, I would say to you, please don't give greater weight to difficulties than they actually have. You're listening to the world if you think that you cannot hold out. I want you to know that it is possible, that I and thousands of others have proved the all-powerful strengthening and sustaining of God. He has taken upon Himself the responsibility to help us, but we have to want to be helped. Sometimes we just need to shut up for a while, and instead of listening to the world, listen to God. Switch off the TV, close the novels, the magazines, shut your eyes and your ears to what the world would be telling you, and just say, "Lord, I don't think I can do this by myself, but Lord, I'm willing to do it for You. Will You help me?" I promise you, He will. He will give grace. He has not promised strength for anything but the present moment. God does not promise strength for the next 20 years. He says, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." You do not need to be able to hold out forever. You do not need to feel today that you can hold out until you're 40 years old. You only need to be pure for today. When the actual moment of temptation comes, God will be there for you. I guarantee it. I promise you, He will be there. If you're listening and looking for Him, if you're asking for His help. It's been so many years since I read the novel Jane Eyre that I had forgotten this wonderful passage that a friend just sent me in a letter. And I believe in providences too. And I believe that God often sends things to me in letters from listeners and readers that are exactly what I need for the particular set of radio talks that I happen to be working on or the article that I might be writing. And this is the quotation from the book Jane Eyre that this friend sent me. You remember that she was a governess in the home of a wealthy Englishman who apparently didn't have any wife when she arrived, but then she later discovers that he does have a mad wife who is sequestered up in the attic. And he tries to seduce Jane, this very attractive young governess. And he says this, "One instant, Jane. Give one glance to my horrible life when you are gone. All happiness will be torn away with you. What then is left? For a wife, I have but the maniac upstairs. What shall I do, Jane?" "Do as I do. Trust in God and yourself. Believe in heaven," she says. "Is it better to drive a fellow creature to despair than transgress a mere human law?" he says. This was true, and while he spoke, my very conscience and reason turned traitors against me and charged me with crime in resisting him. They spoke almost as loud as feeling, and that clamored wildly. "Oh, comply," it said. "Think of his misery. Think of his danger. Look at his state when left alone. Remember his headlong nature. Consider the recklessness following on despair. Soothe him. Save him. Tell him you love him and will be his. Who in the world cares for you? Or who will be injured by what you do?" Skipping a little bit, Jane Eyre says, "I will hold to the principles received by me when I was sane and not mad, as I am now. Laws and principles are not for the times when there is no temptation. They are for such moments as this, when body and soul rise in mutiny against their rigor. Stringent are they, inviolate they shall be. If at my individual conscience I might break them, what would be their worth? They have a worth, so I have always believed. And if I cannot believe it now, it is because I am insane, quite insane, with my veins running fire and my heart beating faster than I can count its throbs. Preconceived opinions, foregone determinations are all I have at this hour to stand by. There I plant my foot." Is it not realistic for me to say to you, hold and guard and keep that chastity? Well, if it's not realistic, I would ask you, what is real? Capital R-E-A-L. Is my human need more real than God? More powerful than his grace? More likely to bring happiness? Deepest satisfaction? I'm asking you these questions. I'm not reading from Jane Eyre now. Is your human need greater than God? Is your sex drive more powerful than his grace? Do you really deep down in your heart think that extramarital activities are more likely to bring you happiness than God can give? Are they really likely to bring you deepest satisfaction? I read that those who have been divorced and married again are 80% more likely to divorce again. It doesn't bring satisfaction, this going from bed to bed. It's happiness and satisfaction that God made us for. Joy, glory, fulfillment. But I know what it's like when you're feeling extremely lonely and forsaken and down there in the bottom of the barrel and having your own little pity party all by yourself when the phone doesn't ring and the mail doesn't come. You just can hardly believe that. God made me for joy. This is a funny way of showing it. God loves me. Boy, with a friend like him, who needs enemies? Or as Saint Teresa said, if this is the way you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few. It is hard to believe that at times, isn't it? But like Jane Eyre, you have to plant your feet on the principles that you know to be true in your moments of the greatest temptation. It is those very moments which are your opportunity for a closer relationship to Christ, a deeper understanding of that mystery of betrothal. I can't tell you how tenaciously I clung to those words that I read you at the beginning of this program from Isaiah 54. Your maker is your husband. but I felt like the little boy when his father said goodnight to him and started to turn off the light. The little boy said, "I'm afraid of the dark." And his father said, "But God is here." And he said, "But I want something with skin on." When we're told that God can satisfy our deepest longings, we want something with arms of flesh, not just the everlasting arms. But this is a part of living in this fallen and broken and bruised and sin-sick world. There is no remedy for the fallenness and the brokenness and the loneliness except Jesus Christ himself. He stands there with arms open. He says, "I love you with an everlasting love. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? It is your very hunger and thirst that provides you with the receptacle for his mercy, his grace, the kind of joy which is joy unspeakable, the kind of love which is everlasting, the arms which will never let you down. May God lead you into a deeper understanding of that mystery. And may he give you courage to hold on to your chastity just for one more day. One day at a time, you can bear your burdens until the sun goes down. You can determine to stick with what God says just for today. Just for today with the strength that he gives you for today, because it will be enough. God bless you.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.